This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Most professional baseball players start out in rookie ball and have to climb five more rungs in the minor leagues to get to the majors. The competition can be ruthless.
There's 25 spots in the big leagues. There's 25 spots in AAA. There's 25 spots in AA. And the second you walk in that clubhouse, another guy's name gets called in the office and he gets released while you're taking his job. It's rough. I mean, it happens at every level. It does make you feel sick.
The clip you just heard is from The Show, a new television series on the Mojo High Definition channel. The program follows six players on the AAA Tucson Sidewinders as they try to take that one last step up to the big leagues. A few are so good that the Major League club, in this case the Arizona Diamondbacks, will make room for them on the Major League roster. A few more will be lucky when the big leaguer who plays their position gets hurt or traded away. Most will never make it at all. Why is it so hard, and why do the players persist against such long odds? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. We'd be particularly interested in hearing from those of you who are former professional baseball players or maybe married to them. Later in the program, we'll bang the drum slowly for the late Mark Harris and hear the experiences of men on both sides in the Battle of Midway 65 years ago today. But first, minor league baseball and The Show. Rick Parr is general manager of the Tucson Sidewinders. He joins us today from the radio station KTSM in El Paso, Texas. Nice to have you on the program today.
Neil, it's a pleasure. I've always wanted to be on a talk show like yours, and guess what? I finally made it.
You made it to the big time.
That's right.
I think we have to begin by reinforcing the point that baseball is completely different from football or basketball, where players are drafted out of college, they go straight to the NFL or the NBA. Baseball players spend at least, what, 3 or 4 years in the minors, and most never make it to the big leagues.
Yeah, I think on the average, you're going to say that most of the players will spend 4 to 5 years in the minor leagues. And then they'll have their shot at making it. And I got to tell you this, it's a little scary for them, because if you really look at it, when they're mature enough to make it, it is a very, very tight window. Mm. There's not much time. There's maybe about 18 months to 2 years in there. And then the door closes forever, and it's over.
Yeah, if you're 27 years old, and if you're not very close to the major leagues or already in it, you're not going to go.
No, you're what they call sweating bullets. You every day that goes by, and I think the only way that I can describe this is sometimes I hear this from women that they say, well, I'm 35 and I'm not married. Mm. And they go, you know, they get real nervous at that point. And I'm not a woman, but I hear them say it all the time. And I think that's a similar type of feeling.
Mm. Why do you think it is that, they go into rookie ball. You could say, look around, look to your left, you look to your right. Out of this team of 23 people at that level of baseball, what, one guy might make it?
Yeah, they say that, and I've heard the statistics, and I'm not sure, you know, how true this is, but approximately all those that enter professional baseball, 3% make it to the show. And when we say the show, we're talking about the big leagues. And I can tell you, I think that statistic is very true. I can tell you that when you get to AAA, and if you're a very, very good player, your chances are up to 80 to 85%, but you got to get to AAA and you got to be a very good player. And I can tell you, that's the struggle. And I still say, even this, Neil, that at AA, and you've been around, that at AA, I think is your break point. It's your make or break. If you can get to AA and you're good, I can tell you the statistics go way up from that point.
Yeah, it's often thought of as the prospect league, where you have guys who are ready to step in case somebody's injured up at Triple A, but you have your hot prospects down at Double A to give them a chance to play every day. But as you look around at this, one of the things that happens to these kids is they come into professional baseball. They've been the best player in their high school, usually maybe the best player on their college team or junior college team, and all of a sudden they're for the first time facing guys who are just as fast and just as strong and just as quick as they are.
Well, a lot of times they face better athletes, and all of a sudden, whatever, you know, God-given talent that they do have, now they have to do two things. You have to use your brain okay, and figure out a way to win. And you have to physically use your talents better and more efficiently than any other athlete on the field. And that is if you have a chance to make it. And these guys, for the first time, competition is so difficult that they begin to doubt whether they can really do it or not.
And doubt will kill you.
Oh, it's a hesitation. And once you hesitate, you're lost. But I can also tell you that the guy that's sitting in the dugout, that's a workhorse, and it works and works and works and works and mentally just battles it every day, has just as good as a shot at making it to the show than the guy that's so talented that doesn't know what to do with his talent. So I can tell you, you see all the different kinds in minor league ball, and I've been fortunate. I've been in the game 32 years now on the professional level, and I can tell you I've seen it all. I've seen the guy with great talent make it, and I've seen the guy that wasted his talent and never made it, and then I've seen the guy that people said, well, he'll never make it, and he does make it because his heart is so big that he wants it so bad that he tastes it every day, and he's willing to pay the price to make it.
We're talking with Rick Parr, who's the general manager of the Tucson Sidewinders. If you'd like to join our conversation about minor league baseball and why the players persist in the face of such long odds, give us a call at 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And, Rick, I have to ask you, as a general manager of the AAA franchise, you're not involved in player decisions.
No, I'm not, but our role is somewhat extremely important for these players to get a grasp on reality. And what do I mean by that? We take care of the player when they're at our ballpark. And that means the clubhouse has got to be ready. The uniforms are ready. They got to look good. All the field has to be prepped right. The conditions of going on the road, because remember, they play half of their games on the road. And I can assure you that if everything is not just right, you know, the infield, let's say that it's not raked right. They have certain superstitions that if it's not done exactly the same way every day, they somehow lose that edge and it throws them off. And I can tell you that at that point they just get, I guess, frazzled a little bit and frustrated, and it could make the difference in whether they make it or not. So our job becomes extremely important on the minor league level to provide an adequate winning situation day in, day out. And the other thing is to get these guys in front of the camera so they can intelligently speak about minor league baseball whenever the TV camera gets in front of their face, or a talk show host like yourself says, hey, I want to interview Bill Murphy.
Yeah, well, he's going to be on the show a little bit later. He's one of the players profiled in the show, which is the Mojo High Definition Channels program that we're talking about today. Let's see if we get a caller on the line. And, Jennifer just left us, I think. Jennifer, are you there? We had Jennifer on the line, but she left us. You mentioned the travel, and that's the first thing that people mention when they talk about the minor league baseball. They say getting back on the buses. And obviously, I think if people think about where Tucson, Arizona is, and Tucson to anywhere, you must fly to a lot of places.
Yeah, well, we have to. We're more of a small market team. Most of the flights are out of Phoenix, but we usually take everything by plane, except for there's a couple of places that you can bus. And if you take it from Vegas into Fresno, California, that's an easy bus ride. And the players, sometimes even on AAA level, would much rather take the bus to certain cities because it's just an easy go. We do that. But I can tell you this, that anywhere else we usually fly because we are a little bit more remote out in the desert southwest, and it makes sense to fly just because of time.
Let's see if we can get Jim on the line. Jim calling us from Richmond, Virginia.
Yes, hi there.
Hi there.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a nephew who played minor league ball. He was in the independent league for, I believe, at least three seasons. And there was two things about his experience that I thought was worth sharing. One was that he was amazed that he got paid anything for playing a game. And it was the love of the game that was the most fun.
In the independent league, anything was about what he got paid.
That's pretty much, yeah. Exactly. And then he went on after that. He took it as far as they took him, and which wasn't very far, but he got 3 or 4 years out of it, went back to assistant coach at his college alma mater, finished his degree, which was very difficult to do while you're playing. The season is completely wrong for that. But he eventually got his degree, and now he's a head coach at a Louisiana State college.
And passing on the love of the game, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's hard to overrate that, isn't it, Rick Parr? The people do it because it's something they've been doing since they've been 5 years old, and they love it.
I got to tell you that it's true. It's a kid's game. But, you know, it becomes really serious when you get to I'm going to make the division here because I need to. In independent baseball versus affiliated baseball, it is much more difficult when you're in independent baseball because your percentages to make it to the show, and we're talking about making it to the big leagues, go way, way, way down.
Yep.
And so if you make it, if you really make it from independent ball, you are a statistic that is truly dynamically different than anybody else that takes on the task to try to make it. But I can tell you, once you get to AAA, like where we're at, you are so close, you can taste it. You want it. It is a dream come true, and you know you're so close, you cannot do anything to try, I mean, you'll do more than you ever thought possible to get that one more level, because this is what they do, Neil. Mm-hmm. They kind of tease you. If you're really good, they'll bring you up to the big leagues when they have a numbers situation, such as they get somebody on the DL, and the DL is just nothing but the disabled list.
Right, somebody hurt.
And, yeah, somebody gets hurt just for a period of 5 days. Well, you know what they'll do is they'll take one of their superstars that they think are going to make it, and let's take Dustin Nippert because he's one of the guys that they showcase.
Yep.
Dustin Nippert went up for 2 weeks. Now, you know what happened to that kid's brain? When he goes in front of 50 to 55,000 people, and I think we're experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties, but when he gets in front of the show, all of a sudden, he wants it more than he ever has.
We're talking about minor league baseball. We'll be back after a break. This is NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about life in minor league baseball and about six players trying to make it onto the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're players on the Tucson Sidewinders last year and wound up being featured on a program called The Show, a baseball reality series on the Mojo cable channel. Still with us is Rick Parr, general manager of the Tucson Sidewinders. If you're welcome to join us. If you have questions about life in minor leagues and why the players go up against such long odds, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also check out our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. And joining us now is Bill Murphy. He's a southpaw pitcher for the Tucson Sidewinders, one of the players featured on the show. In this clip, Murphy describes what it's like to take the mound.
When I come out of the bullpen running on the mound, it's a rush. Your adrenaline starts pumping. Everybody's looking at you. They're wondering who's coming to the game.
Former starting pitcher, now in the bullpen for Tucson. Murphy had himself a tremendous Arizona Fall League, and now the Diamondbacks will count on him to be a key member of the pen this year here in Tucson.
Murphy joins us now by phone from his hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me.
And I know you were one of the players featured. What was it like having cameras following you around all the time?
You know, it was weird. You know, not for us, but for pretty much everybody in the clubhouse. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, guys like to, you know, the clubhouse is a personal place for a lot of guys to, you know, hang out, and you know, it was fun. You know, it was about 2 weeks of nonstop footage, so it was pretty cool.
And I don't want to run down the glamour, but it's not all that often that television cameras show up in AAA clubhouses.
No, it's not too often. I mean, sure, when you're in a race to win the division, you might get you know, local news come out there and shoot you a little bit, but nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. There are other occasions. Earlier this year, in a rehabilitation assignment, Randy Johnson, the future Hall of Famer, a pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, he's on the same pitching staff as you.
Yeah, that was real exciting because growing up, you know, Randy, I used to watch him on TV all the time, and you know, even seeing him in camp and spring training was, you know, a shocker, and having him come down and throw for us, you know, he put some fans in the stands for us, and it was fun to watch him pitch.
And he's got a reputation as being, at least on game day, a little surly to approach. Did he live up to his reputation?
You know what? He was awesome. He came in, you know, talk to everybody. You know, obviously, you know, you don't want to let the guy get his work done, so you try to stay away. But, you know, he helped out some guys. You know I pitched after him one ball game and came in and talked to him a little bit and asked him how he felt, and he asked me how I felt. And, you know, we're both going through the same thing of, you know, early in the season, you know, you kind of, after spring training, you got those long innings, you know, you really don't get to pitch much. And then, you know, the beginning of the season is kind of like an extended spring training for a lot of guys. So, you know, it was neat to watch him and even have the chance to talk to him.
Earlier in the program, we played a clip of tape of you talking about the numbers game, that every time somebody gets promoted and achieves their dream, somebody else is off the team.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because I remember when there's a clip in the show where I was in Vancouver, you know, and we had a bunch of guys that year, nine guys picked in the first three rounds of the Oakland. We all came to Vancouver and we saw some guys get released, and you know, we didn't know what was going on. You know, there's not too many levels below short season, so mm-hmm. You know, it was a tough shock, but it's part of the game.
And some of those players go on and even scuffle along in the independent leagues for a while, try to make it back. You can be one of the 2,000 best ball players in the world and not have a job in professional baseball.
Yeah, you know, it's a day-to-day game. You know, we got a young kid named Justin Up and down in Double-A. I mean, he's swinging the bat really well. I mean, he's only 19 years old, and, you know, he's going to get his chance because, I mean, the numbers he's putting up, you know, he can be a triple any day now. So he can even go to the big leagues like Mark Reynolds. So injuries happen, stuff happens. So, you know, you're always looking behind you. You just always want to keep going forward.
And I understand you're about on your way out of the hotel and getting ready to leave for the ballpark?
Yeah, we're in Nashville. We have a 3 o'clock bus that go to the park. We've stretched at about 4 o'clock, so we get there a little early and get ready.
Yeah, hang around the clubhouse and what, play spades?
Yeah, well, we'll play a little hearts today. You know, Mark uh-huh. Johnson, veteran guy in the clubhouse, loves playing hearts, the only game he plays. So, and then Randy Cho, you know, he's a stickler for hearts. He likes to give me this queen of spades all the time, which is very nice.
Mm-hmm. Randy Cho, of course, played in the big leagues for the Yankees, among other teams.
Yes, he played for the Yankees and he played for us. So he's my roommate and a good friend of mine.
When you talk to guys like that, you say, I've seen your numbers this year. Your ERA is very good. Many fewer hits than innings pitched, which is also very good. So are you saying, looking around up at the big leagues and saying, when do I get my chance?
You know, you always think that, but, you know, you still got to come here and pitch here, because if you start worrying about other things, it affects you on the mound. And it shows, you know, Randy's talked to me quite a few times. He sent me some nice text messages when he was with the Twins during spring training, you know, and it's emotional, but you just gotta stay positive.
Mm-hmm. And what about your family? Because it's pretty tough if you have a girlfriend or a wife.
Yeah, you know, I have a girlfriend. Her name's Natalie. She lives at home in Phoenix with me, and you know, it's tough on her. But you know, she's real strong. She supports me and everything, and I really appreciate that. And my family, I mean, my mom and my dad used to come to every game when I was in college and high school. Now it's hardly ever get to see them because I live in Phoenix now. So it's real tough on them. My mom's always giving me crap, but you know, they understand. They know I'm chasing a dream, and they support me 100%.
And if you never make it, it's still all right?
You know, I've given my all. You know, I've been trying hard, you know, and there's always room out there for left-handed pitchers, so I'm going to, you know, keep going until someone says I can't play anymore.
Murphy, good luck.
I appreciate it, Neil. Thanks for having me.
Bill Murphy, a pitcher for the Tucson Sidewinders, with us today by phone from his hotel. He's on the road in Nashville, Tennessee. Still with us is Rick Parr, who's the general manager of the Tucson Sidewinders. Let's see if we get another caller on the line. This is Frank. Frank calling us from Buffalo, New York.
I would like to hear what your guest has to say about the opportunity for advancement for players who get different signing bonuses, players that don't have as much invested in them by the teams as the so-called bonus babies that are drafted in the higher rounds.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like for is there an equal opportunity for advancement based on performance?
How much of it is a strict meritocracy, Rick Parr?
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate question. I can tell you this, it's more about high profile. What they do with the bonus babies is they will watch them meticulously. And that's okay, because that's the way it should be. You paid a lot of money for these guys, and you are very, very interested in seeing your investment come to maturity. So what we look at here is, but do not underestimate the guy that is putting up statistical numbers. You know, the guy that let's take a Murphy, who just was on.
Yeah.
I can just tell you that if you don't think that they know exactly what Murphy does, they do. And if you don't think they know what Dustin Nippert is doing, and I'm going to conclude my little thoughts on Dustin here in a few minutes, but I will tell you this. Right now, Dustin Nippert was not a bonus baby at all.
Mm-hmm.
He is so close to the major leagues. He can do more than taste it. He believes he's there. So I'm not surprised that if I get a phone call within the next 2 weeks that Dustin Nippert's gone and he's the next guy up. Now, he wasn't a bonus baby, but he is putting up so many great numbers. And when you see him pitch at the ballpark, you ask yourself, what is he doing? What is he doing on this team? He needs to be in the big leagues.
But wouldn't you agree with Frank that players signed to big contracts, the bonus babies, get a better opportunity, particularly on the lower rungs, but after a few years, the numbers don't lie?
No, they don't. And what they do is they really they look at those guys. Don't kid yourself. They look at them, but they look at all of them. Nowadays, they have this thing down to a science. And if you do anything good, you don't have to be a bonus baby, and you'll still make it to the show.
All right. Frank, thanks for the call.
Can I ask one more thing real quick?
Real quick.
The disparity in money between the majors and the minors, that a guy like Alex Rodriguez makes $25 million a year. Does any of that money, are these players, do they send anything back to the minors? Do they share it all? Does that ever happen?
That is a really, really good question. No, they don't. There's no share. There's no money in it whatsoever. The minor leagues are totally separate. The unions are at the major league level, and it's non-union at the minor league level, and the minor leaguers will never share in that money that Rodriguez makes.
And so what does the typical minor leaguer in AAA make?
I'm guessing right around $1,750 a month.
That's just for the 6 months of the season.
That's for 6 months. And it's not much. But, it does make them want it, and they want it more. And it's a good thing, not a negative thing at all.
Hmm. Frank, thanks for the call. Let's see if we can get Pam on the line. Pam's with us from Marietta, Ohio.
Hello.
Pam, go ahead.
Hello there.
Hi.
I am actually Dustin and Derek Nippert's aunt.
Oh.
And I just want to thank the Diamondback organization for giving those two guys this great opportunity. You have no idea how proud our entire family is of those two. I mean, when Dustin had his opening in the big leagues in Pittsburgh, we cleared out the town of Beltsville, Ohio on school buses to come and cheer for the Diamondbacks. So it is just awesome.
Rick Parr would not object if you bust the whole town down to Tucson and took some seats there, too.
Hey, if we could do that, you had better believe we would be there.
Well, listen, I'm partial to Dustin. I just think he's a great player, and I think that he is destined for the major leagues. He's the next one, in my opinion, to go. We are going to be extremely happy for him because he is a major league player, and it's just a matter of time.
Growing up, through his high school years, he had so many, physical difficulties that this is just so unbelievable. And coming from the little tiny farming community that we are all from, it's just remarkable. We are just so proud of he and Derek both. They're just both unbelievable guys. We love them to death.
Pam, we wish you and them the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
So long.
Well, Neil, let me say this about Dustin. The reason that I think he is going to make, there's a couple of reasons, but one of them is that when he pitched in our championship bid, we won the Pacific Coast League championship, and then as the Tucson Sidewinders in 2006, we won the AAA championship. But when Dustin pitched last year, he was pivotal in some pivotal games. And so Dustin under pressure can pitch.
Hmm.
And that's what they want to see. They want to see you pitch in a playoff game. They want to see you pitch when the odds are against you. And that's part of this building process, too, because, see, that tells you the character of the ball player. I happen to like Dustin a lot. I think he's going to be a major league player for a number of years when he finally gets there and when he sticks. He's going to please a lot of people for a good number of years. The only thing that I hope is that Dustin never forgets his roots, and if we need some autographed baseballs to promote things, I just hope that he goes, I'll be glad to sign a couple of dozen for you to help the next guy make it.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk with Patrick. Patrick with us from Louisville in Kentucky.
Hi. When I was a kid, I had some friends in the neighborhood whose dad was a AAA umpire, and I thought that was even a notch above the players in terms of commitment, long odds against making it, and you know, you talked about how the players are on the road half the time, but the umpires are always on the road, and the crowd is always hostile. And,
yeah, that's true. They're always wearing the black hat.
Well, think of it this way. The umpires, now, we do an eight-game series. They only do a four-game. They won't let them do an eight-game. So they travel twice as much as the players travel.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to keep that in mind. Yeah, there's some dedication level. But, again, the payoff when you make it to the show is huge.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that dedication and sacrifice will pay off.
Thanks for the call, Patrick.
Okay, bye.
We're talking about minor league baseball with Rick Parr of the Tucson Sidewinders. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And that call raises a question. Everybody in the minor leagues is, in a way, looking for a promotion. The groundskeepers, the trainers, the play-by-play announcers, as well as the players, and I suppose even general managers would like to be working in Major League Baseball.
I think, you know, Neil, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think that everybody is always looking for the next step. And, you know, and the division between minor league and major league is so vast as far as the payoff that you know, it's just incredible. And if you feel that you are that talented, and you're right, if you're a major league groundskeeper, you're somebody. You really are. You have made it to the pinnacle of your field. A little bit different for general managers. For me, I don't aspire to major league to be a general manager on a major league level. Mine is more quality of life. I have always felt that a community like Tucson deserves a quality of life, and if you can play AAA baseball in a community like Tucson, then you have done great things for parents around the world because they want to bring up their kids in a great environment. And there's no better environment in the world to take your kid to the game and spend 2.5-3 hours with them eating hot dogs and talking about the day and how they're going to do, you know, different things at school and stuff like that. And I tell you, it's wonderful. I've got two kids. They come out to the ballpark all the time, and it's part of the quality of life that I want my kids to grow up in.
Here's an email we got from Robert in Susquehanna, Pennsylvania. My dad loves to tell the story of a coworker who was a talented player at college and part of the Pittsburgh Pirates farm system. At about the age of 23, an 18-year-old kid walked into the training camp and was so much better than my dad's friend that he knew he would or could ever be that he left the dream of making the show behind. The name of that kid was Roberto Clemente, and I'm sure you've heard variations on that story 100 times. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Stu. Stu with us from Indianapolis.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Stu. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Neil, hi. First of all, I want to kind of confirm something Rick said earlier. I am a sports counselor that's worked with minor league players, and I have kids that are bonus babies who kind of feel like should be handed to them on a silver plate and really aren't willing to do the discipline work and meet the challenges that they need to really climb up the ladder. I've had other kids who were surprised when they were drafted and want it so bad that they're open to doing whatever it takes to go ahead and try to progress. But the thing where I think baseball might be missing the boat is that these kids are living away from home for the first time in an unprotected environment. They either get signed out of high school or else they go to college. And a lot of them don't have the life skills to really adapt to the pressure and challenges they're facing. And a lot of them don't know how to mentally handle challenges because, as you pointed out, a lot of them start, it came easy to them, and suddenly they're playing guys with the same talent level. And I really think baseball would, and I've actually suggested this to a couple of people on the major league levels through my contact who got me started, Freddie Biancolana, who used to play with the Royals, that they really need to attend to the whole person a little better to protect their investments because these kids need these life skills to deal with these pressures.
What do you think, Rick Parr?
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. Let's take a look at just the scheduling, the rigorous schedule that they have. They've never done anything like this in high school. And even when you play, let's just take a college kid that plays. His schedule is nowhere close to what they play in the minor leagues or the major leagues. And so what they have to learn is they're going to work every day. And they're going to have to travel half of those days that they do work. And then they're going to play games at night. And they're going to get out of there at about 11 or 12 o'clock midnight. And they're going to get back up and they're going to do this all over again.
And face the existential question, how many times can you watch the same sports center?
Oh, I'm telling you, it is a brutal schedule. And the guys that know and can adjust the fastest to it and make it more of a normal schedule for themselves are the ones that really start to rise to the top quickly. And I got to tell you that, you know, like, if you're not a bonus baby or not, it's part of the way the system works.
Rick Parr, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Rick Parr, general manager of the Tucson Signwinders, with us from radio station KTSM in El Paso, Texas today. The show is a TV series on the High Definition Mojo channel Wednesday nights at 10. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.